Good morning, prayer warriors. God bless you all this morning. Welcome to Be Restored Ministries. I am Sister Omikiel, and I am thankful and grateful to be here with you all this morning. If some of you may know, but those who do not know, To Be Restored Ministries was birthed by our pastor, Lady Marlene Carr, with the support and love of her husband, Pastor Kenneth Carr. And God bless them with this ministry and have allowed Lady Carr to create a platform to connect to prayer warriors all across the world to encourage, empower, embrace, uplift, and intercede with them through the power of prayer. As this ministry continues to grow and to expand, we are in need of more power team partners. And becoming a partner with To Be Restored is a covenant relationship in helping this ministry continue to saturate the earth with prayer, as well as it being a vital part of our survival as we move forward in this ministry. So some of the things that it helps covers expenses for us to keep moving in is our To Be Restored home, which we're finishing the phase one and plan on beginning phase two of the renovations by this summer. The To Be Restored home will be a place where married couples and families can come in for 4 nights, 5 day retreats to receive rest, ministry, and be encouraged by a loving volunteer staff. The funding also helps with prayer revivals, local community missions, our mentor programs, intercessory prayer trainings. And if you're interested in becoming a partner, I would recommend you go to our website, www.toberestored.us/partners, and you'll have more information on how you can join and what you would be contributing to this ministry. I'm going to play a song, and then when I return, we're going to jump right into our morning devotion.
Might as well put your hands together.
This means war. I am serving the devil notice right now that he cannot have my family. He cannot have your family because guess what? We are covered by God's blood, and we are rebuking him in the name of Jesus and commanding him to get out of our home, out of our children's minds, and we are binding up any curses, any hindrances, any and all hurt, harm, or danger that he has planned for our families. We bind it up and we cast it back down to where he belongs, which is hell. Amen. So today we're going to talk about the foundation of a family. In the book of Genesis, we read the story of God's creation of man. It talks about how God breathed life into Adam, and after noticing that every creation he created had a partner except man, God put Adam asleep, and he removed one of his ribs to create a woman. The woman named Eve. God did not take a piece of the man's head so that the woman would dominate him. Nor did God take a bone from the man's foot so that he should dominate her. Rather, he took a rib from man's side, signifying that man would be an equal to woman and she to him. And Adam said, "Now this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Wherefore a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be two in one flesh. Two became one. Male and female, God created them together. In his image and likeness, a reflection of the goodness of their creator, who blessed them with a command to increase and to multiply, filling every corner of the earth." God was clearly defining the foundation of family as a unit with a father and a mother. So when you think about our families, it is the most fundamental institution of society. The family unit that was intentionally created by God is under attack from all sides. When you think about what's happening in marriages today, we have adultery, divorce, or people not even getting married, they cohabitating. We have child and spouse abuse. We have homosexuality. We have abortion, teen pregnancies, pornography, disobedience, children, economic struggles. Satan is throwing everything he can to break that bond that God has created, such as the family unit. We have an increasingly unwillingness among married couples to bear and rear children. If you think about that, some people don't even want kids. They're like, nope, not having no kids. I'm not doing that. Again, all these are proof that Satan does not want that family, the destiny of God, to flourish. And it's no secret that Satan aims to attack families. It has been his agenda since day one of him being kicked out of heaven. So think about this. If we go back to Genesis in the beginning, Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 6, I'm going to read that out of the Message Bible. It says, "The serpent was clever, more clever than any wild animal God had made. He spoke to the woman, 'Do I understand that God told you not to eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'Not at all. We can eat from the trees in the garden. It's only about the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, don't eat from it. Don't even touch it, or you'll die.' The serpent told the woman, 'You won't die. God knows that the moment you eat from that tree, you'll see what's really going on. You'll be just like God, knowing everything, ranging from all the way from good to evil.' When the woman saw that the tree looked like good eating and realized what she would get out of it, she knew everything. She took and ate the fruit and then gave some to her husband, and he ate. So Satan's goal was to put just enough doubt in Eve's mind to have her questioning God's instructions. And he must have been very convincing, because as you heard in verse 6, Eve saw that the tree looked like good eating and realized what she would get out of it. She knew everything. So she took and ate the fruit. But she didn't stop there. She couldn't eat by herself. She gave some to her husband, who ate as well. So Satan's goal was to disrupt, cause chaos in the family foundation that began in the marriage of Adam and Eve. Let's talk about the reasons why Satan attacks families. I have a couple reasons. First, his aim in general is to destroy what God has created. That's his nature. If God had granted him permission to do so, you think about Job and how, you know, God allowed him to, you know, do what he wanted to do as long as he didn't kill him. His nature is to destroy by using any type of tactic that he can. He wants to destroy the witness of our marriage. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5 that our marriages are a picture of the gospel. If the enemy destroys our marriage, then we can no longer model that gospel by loving our spouses as Christ loves the church. The third thing is, he hates our children. He takes delight when our adult decisions affect our children by turning them against God and the church. How often has that happened where there's something that we as adults have made a decision to do which would probably has been outside of the will of God, and it has impacted our children in a way where they ain't trying to go to church no more. They don't want to believe in God because they don't have those examples of their parents. So if they're not living the way they're supposed to be living, why should I? And sometimes we become the enemy's tool to do that when we follow his ways more than God. Another thing is, the enemy wants to take out the primary place of disciple making. So if you think about that, the first place that we have as parents of making disciples is in our home. It's where we are to disciple to our children. And when our homes are messed up, the church's disciple-making work is only going to be harder and harder because we cannot build and help our children learn about God. He wants to harm our witness. Satan loses us from his kingdom when we follow God. But he doesn't back down. In fact, the battle gets a little tougher. What he does is, if he can't rip us from God's kingdom, he will dim our light for the gospel. He'll pour in different things. He'll cause division. He'll cause things to happen where you see things a little differently than you have. And that comes in the form of gossip. That comes in the form of, you know, listening to things that people may tell you. Which may be half truth, not fully truth, but anywhere it can seep in and it can stir up, that's the trick of the enemy. He strives to remove people from ministry. He is the master of causing division in the ministry, because his bottom line is to destroy our home so that we have nothing left for the ministry. He wants to redirect the church away from evangelism. And he will do whatever he can to keep us from taking the gospel to our non-believing neighbors and the nation. He also wants to hinder prayer. So think about that. There are some times when, I gotta tell you, I can't get to pray for nothing in the world. My life gets so busy, or I'm working, or I'm doing this, or I'm doing that, and I don't make that time to get in prayer with God. And Peter warns us that unhealthy marriages can sometimes block our prayer channels. Satan will always aim to rob us of power by weakening our prayers, whether that's for our marriages, whether that's for our children, whether that's for our ministry. His goal is to rob us of that power that God has given us so we don't go to God in prayer. He takes delight in the scars he can't, so he can attack later on in life. So you think about our past, and you think about some things that may have happened in our past, and sometimes that may come in the form of rejection, and sometimes we can't move past that. He delights that we can't move past that, that we stuck in this vicious cycle of not being able to come out of whatever it is, and it keeps us bounded, so we're not allowing God to elevate us to that next level. Our sinful choices that we have made in our past, they lead to those scars in our lives and the lives of our children, because you think about the generational curses that can continue to surface from generation to generation to generation. Satan doesn't miss opportunities to rip those scars open, and he's so patient. Oh, my gosh, he is so patient. He'll sit back and say, okay, you go ahead and do what you need to do. You go ahead and, you know, spread the word and, you know, preach the word of God. I got something like down the line. In your most vulnerable time, in the time where you are weakened, that's when he pops up. And that's when he uses whatever that is that we may have not been delivered from, that has kept us bounded. He'll use that to rip open that wound. He'll wait. Another thing that he does is he will wound the entire church family when a home falls apart. So if you think about that, and think about it in the sense of your spiritual leaders, if Satan comes and he attacks the head, he attacks that family, the first family of the church, if he attacks that family and starts pulling bits and pieces apart, whether it's the children, whether it's the pastor, first lady, whatever the situation is, if he gets in there and he's able to divide and conquer that union, what do you think happens? When Satan hurts one person in the body of Christ, we all hurt. Again, that is his tactic. Satan and his team, they are desperately working to tear down families, to cause division in our families. Not only our natural families, but our spiritual family, our church family. And sometimes we as people, we lose sight of the joys and the blessings that a strong and loving family can offer. We have to be aware of who our enemy is. As we build our families on God's word, we have to stand up against Satan, and we have to take our place on that front line in this war. The song that I played, "This Means War," I'm intentionally saying, Satan, this means war. You got to get out of my family. You keep coming after my children. You keep coming after my marriage. You know what? It's on. Like, it is on. And the battle isn't physically mine, but I have a source. I have a source that is more powerful, and he already kicked Satan's butt once, and he will do it again. Because God is the strength that we need. And what we need to do, we need to pray, we need to preserve, and we need to protect the sanctity of our families. And how we do that is we know who he is. And trust and believe he is real, he is alive, he is deceptive, and he is crafty. If you go back, if we go back to Genesis chapter 3, verses 1, it said the serpent was clever, more clever than any wild animal that God has made. So he is so crafty, he is so deceivious. And his primary goal is to strike us down along with as many other people that he can drag down with us. He will wait. He will search. He will watch. He's looking for that best time to attack. It's like, when can I jump in? When can I jump in? And it's usually at our weakest and most vulnerable moment. And guys, here's the thing. He ain't just some guy in this red suit that we see on TV with a pitchfork in his hand. We can't be fooled by that. He is far more deceptive than that. He wants us to fail. He wants us to quit. He wants to render us completely ineffective because his main goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. He seeks to gain ground today in as many lives as he can. And every corner of the world, he's trying to see what he can do because he knows his time here is limited. And we can't let him win, especially in our families. When I think about the relationship and I think about all the things that come to break up that foundation that God has created, there's so many different things. And we can't lose sight of who the enemy really is. We have to stop fighting one another and turning against our own team. And when I say that, I mean, you know, if you're married, wives, we can't be speaking negativity into our husband's lives. We can't be, you know, beating them up about things they may not be doing necessarily right. But what we should be doing is praying that God gives him strength, praying that God keeps him grounded, praying that God gives him the tools and the resources that he needs to lead the family, to be the man of God that God called him to be. And the same thing for our children. You know, sometimes our children don't do everything we want them to do, and sometimes they are led astray, and they get caught up in their sin and the things that are not of God. But even in that, we got to go to God and pray for our children, because when we are divided as families, when we have separated friendships, when we have split churches, we lose power and the effectiveness that we need to fight against the devil. And nothing will make Satan more happier than to see us war with each other, to see us all divided and talking about one another and being divorced and having a relationship where we're not talking to one another, that we're holding grudges. Oh, he likes that. He likes that chaos. He likes that division. That means he's planting his seed, and if he has his way, he will break up the family foundation, the family unit that God created. Sometimes we assume we're fighting the right battles against the opposing forces, but sometimes our focus gets blurred. We wrestle and struggle with those that may disagree with our beliefs or what we stand for. We spin our wheels about the words that people say, or they may be judgmental. All in all, what it's doing is this energy that is being created, it's not love. It's strife. It's anger. It's all those things that serve in it. But God's words remind us in Ephesians 6:12, it says, For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the ruler, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. So this war is not against us, the flesh and blood. It's in a spiritual realm. The spiritual realm is the devil. He's coming up against us and trying to attack any way that he can. Here's some things of what the devil looks like and how he works. He is a liar, and we already know that. He is a twister of the truth. From the beginning of time, he has his lies our way, twisting God's word to bring doubt and disbelief. He is a deceiver. He will seek to bring confusion and lead many astray. He is a wolf in sheep's clothing. You gotta be careful. He is a thief. Again, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He will rob us of joy. He will rob us of peace. He will rob us of security. And he will rob us of love and the purpose that God has predestined for us. He will try to destroy our families, our lives, and everything that we hold dear to us. He is the accuser. His voice condemns and accuses, which brings shame and fear. He is our adversary. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. His attacks that he have on us are ruthless. He searches for the weakest, the most vulnerable victims to devour. He disguises himself as an angel of light. He is deceptively cunning and can make himself appear beautiful and alluring. His attempts to make sin look good and evil enticing. Think about that. Sometimes sin looks pretty darn good. Like, why can't I do this? We go back to Eve. She knew the instructions, but once that doubt got planted in, she was like, this tree looking pretty good. The fruit on this tree looks pretty good. And I gain all this other stuff if I do it. It's funny to me that she didn't go back and think about the instructions that God gave her. But then again, he didn't give Eve the instructions. He gave Adam the instructions. So, but the devil knew that. He knew. Again, if you think about what he does, he's our adversary. He's that lion that is prowling. He's searching for the weakest link. And the weakest person in that scenario was Eve. He is the tempter. He will do anything to try to lure you away from the truth, away from God. And he knows your weakness, so don't be fooled. He knows your weakness. He will lure, he will attempt, and whether that's with money, power, greed, lust, he knows our weak points, and he will prey on that. He is the prince of demons. He is like flies that gravitate to decay and death. He lords over what brings death. He is crafty. He is a schemer. He is cunning. And he is evil. He can never be trusted. He is a master manipulator. So we cannot fall for his scheme. He is one who hinders. He is a stumbling block. He will do anything to prevent the name of Jesus Christ from being proclaimed and the truth from being shared. He will try every trick possible
to throw roadblocks in our path and to stop us from being fruitful. How do we know when he's going to attack? Well, when you already down, you're feeling down, you may be down for whatever reason, he don't fight back. He gonna come kick you when you're down and attack you when you already struggling with whatever situation you're struggling with, because that's your weakest, most vulnerable moment. He's going to try to come when we least expect it. When our lives are great and things seem happy, sometimes we drop that guard that we have. And we forget sometimes that he's still there. He's still waiting for that unexpected moment where he can come in and knock you out. Even when days are good and we are strong, we have to be aware that the dark forces are fighting against us in the spiritual realm where we cannot see. He also comes in when we think we got this covered. We you know what? I got this together. I know what I'm doing. I can handle Satan. I can handle the devil. Here's the thing. We must live aware, understanding that our weaknesses, understand our weakness. So we got to understand what our weaknesses are. And we got to find strength in God and God alone, not in ourselves. That is going to be key, that we find strength in God, because God is the source. He has all power. So don't be fooled to think you can't be tempted. But trust me, even if you are good, there's some weakness that you may have, because we're all imperfect. And Satan, he's waiting on that time. He's waiting for the opportunity. So when we think we got things good and we can handle it ourselves, don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own strength. We got to trust God. We got to find strength in him. Another time he comes is when I was talking about earlier, when we are making a difference for God's purpose. If you are a force for God's kingdom and you live in like the salt and the light in this world, you're going to be attacked. You already know. You might as well just go ahead and say, you know what? I know you're coming for me, Satan, but you got to be ready, because you will be attacked. There's no doubt. So we don't need to be surprised. We can be transparent. God is fully transparent. He's saying, you got to stay aware. You got to stay on your guard, because he will try to stop your influence for Jesus. He will try to stop the influence that you have in the ministry. And we have to not fear that. We have to stand strong in God and allow God to fight this battle for us, because he's on our side. Some ways that we can protect ourselves from the attack that he has on our families, our marriages, our children, is to be aware, stay alert. And 1 Peter 5:8 talks more about that. Another thing we can do is submit to God's authority. Resist the devil and he has to flee. Know that in Christ we are forgiven for whatever we have done. If we come to God and we ask for repentance, we are set free. And we have God's power working within us. So we are more than a conqueror through Christ. Romans 8:37 says that. Another thing you have to do is put on our suit of armor on a daily basis. We have to pray and take up the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, every single day. Every single day, we got to put on that suit of armor. We got to know that God is for us and he is with us, and that Satan does not have the final say over your life. He does not have the final say over your marriage. He does not have the final say over your children, over your sisters, your brothers, your mother, your father. He does not have the final say. God will fight for us, even in times where we are unaware. He's always working on our behalf. Sometimes he's behind the scenes, making sure that, you know, things don't happen. I think about times where just the little things that I think about, you know, when you think about your purpose and the things that God has planned for you, and things happen that sometimes if you think about it, even like the smallest thing, and I'll give an example of there's been times where I've almost got an accident, but I had the Holy Spirit quicken me really quick to focus, and I was able to avoid that accident. And every time, I don't care how small it is, I don't care what situation it is, I'm like, thank you, God, because that could have went another way. I could have been in an accident. I could have done, this could have happened, that could have happened, but that protection is around us, even when we can't see it. And he will crush the enemy's plan. The enemy's plan to divide us, the enemy's plan to break up marriages, the enemy's plan to steer our children the wrong way. God will crush his plan like a rock. And then keep living aware. Keep standing strong. You are never alone. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. We serve an amazing God. And he knows what Satan's tactics are. He knows that he's coming after his people, but he has placed in us power, he's placed in us authority, he's placed in us the choice to decide what we want to do. And last night, while my husband and I were in our youth Bible study, we talked about the temptations that come our way, especially for youth, and what they fight and battle with. And we talked about the scenario in the Bible, two scenarios in the Bible, the one which I have just gone over with you today with Eve and Satan. And then the other temptation that happened was Jesus and Satan. So if you remember, Jesus had was in the wilderness for 40 days, 40 nights, and he said he was fasting. So when he came out, he was tired, he was hungry. He was wore out, and in that weakest moment, in his most vulnerable moment, that's when Satan came, and he tempted him three times. And every time, every single time, Jesus made the choice to stand firm in God and to rebuke Satan, and he had to flee. And that is the example that God is commanding us. He's commanding us to stand firm in his will. You don't have to do this by yourself. If your marriage is struggling, you don't have to deal with that by yourself. You can go to God in prayer and ask him to help whatever the situation is, and you can trust that he will do that. I am a living example of a broken marriage and how God interceded and came through and restored that marriage. And he's helping us every day. But we got to stay firm. We got to stay connected. We got to stay focused on God and focus on the will and the purpose that he has for our lives. Even for our children. We have to pray for our children like we've never prayed before, because Satan is trying to come and he's trying to rip them from underneath us. And we got to pray for them, even when, you know, they don't do what we tell them to do, even when they just want to experience on their own. We talked about that a little bit last night. Why you want to hurt yourself if as parents we're telling you what you're going to experience? What you're going through right now, it's happened before. Everything that has happened or is happening in this world has happened at one time or another. It just continues to repeat itself. And when you have someone with wisdom that is guiding you and is showing you the right way, why would you choose to go the other way? Huh? We have that choice. We have the free choice to either do what's right by God or not. But even in that choice that our children make, we have to stand firm in God, and we have to pray like we have never prayed before, because if we lean on our own understanding and our own strength, trust me, we cannot do it. But if we believe in God and we give and relinquish our children to God and send up prayers on whatever situation is going on, whatever situation that they're struggling with that they need to be delivered from, if we give that to God, we got to trust that he will take care of business, because that is what he does. First John 4:4 says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And God is stronger, and he can do more than we can. So I leave you today with our family, our foundation is under attack. And we have to stand strong in our word. We got to put on our armor on a daily basis. We got to go up to God like we have never gone up to him before. We got to know who our enemy is. We got to know that God is for us and that he is with us, and he will fight this battle for us. We got to be able to be aware and stay alert. And we got to finally submit to God's authority. Give it to him. Give it to him. We carry so many burdens. God is telling us, give me the burden. Give me your worries. Give me the things you're stressing about. I got you. But you got to trust me. So trust God with whatever situation that your family is encountering right now. Whatever your family is going through, trust God. And when you trust them completely, totally, unequivocally, God will show up, because he is an on-time God. I'm going to go ahead and go in a prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come to you today thanking you for your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness, and the opportunity to be able to connect with you today. God, thank you for giving us guidance, for patience, for your strength and your wisdom. God, continue to help direct our path. Help us to not do things in our own way, God, or in our own strength, God, but help us to totally depend on you. God, make our thoughts clear. Make our attitudes more positive. Make our behaviors more righteous. God, forgive us for our sins that we've sinned against you, God, our children and ourselves. The enemy seeks to destroy our marriages, our families, and our churches. God, we ask that you send your angels to protect us and place a hedge of safety and sanctity over our homes and our churches, God. Help us to be an instrument of your love and your peace. God, if it is your will, God, God, we ask that you restore and repair all marriages that are broken and that are going through a crisis right now, God. God, marriage is your foundation that you created. Help those who are struggling to stay together, to endure, to face whatever that situation is head on and depend on you and your strength to fix it. God, give them a peace beyond understanding. Heal that pain, whatever it is, God. Heal the feeling of betrayal. Heal that mental, the emotional, or spiritual pain that they may be feeling right now, God. Free them from that pain that delays the process of them working together as the unit that you created, God. Help them to understand that no weapon formed against their marriage shall prosper. God, we pray that you would give them peace of mind and a peace in their heart, peace that comforts them, that fills them with hope to see their relationship restored. And we pray that you show them the changes or adjustments that they need to make and give them the strength and the self-discipline to make them whole in the marriage, God. May the power of your Holy Spirit rest on them, God. Comfort them and fill them with your love. Set their hearts on fire with passion and give them the desire to do what needs to be done to keep the covenant that they made to not only their spouses, God, but to you. God, we pray that they will be able to love one another, God, that they will be able to forgive one another, God, and to move forward in their relationship. God, we pray for restoration, God. We pray for renewal, God. We pray for reconciliation, God. God, we ask that you wrap your loving arms around these couples, God, and rescue them from themselves, God. Give them a vision of the better days ahead, God. Help them through the rough season that they may be experiencing right now, God. Reassure their minds, God, and give them strength to cling to the gift of marriage. God, we thank you for your word that encourages us every day. We pray over our marriages, and we have faith that it will be fulfilled in every way. We have faith that our marriage will continue to grow and become stronger. God, help us to step in the roles that you deliberately planned and set in place for us. Help us to be mentors, God, witnesses, and examples like you. Help us to understand your love and love others the same as you love us, God. And God, right now I want to pray for our children. Father God, in the name of Jesus, oh Lord, we lift our children up to you today. These are your gifts that you have blessed us with. God, we relinquish them to you today. We ask that you penetrate their hearts with your love right now, and you help them to fully understand how complete your love is. Help them to feel loved and accepted by you, God. Help them to feel loved and accepted, period, God. Deliver them from all the lies that the enemy has planted in their minds to cause them to doubt the love you have for them, as well as the love that we as their parents have for them. God, help them to abide in your love. Manifest your love in our children, God, and do it in a way that they receive it directly from you, God. God, we ask that you put a hedge of protection around them. Protect their spirits, God, their bodies, their minds, and emotions from any hurt, harm, or danger. We pray specifically, God, for your protection from accidents, from diseases, from injury, or any other physical, mental, verbal, or emotional abuse that hide them from any evil influences that plan to come up against them. Flush out anything in them that would entertain a lying spirit, God. Squash any darkness that seeks to impose itself in them, God. God, remove the spirit of fear, depression, thoughts of suicide, anger, doubt, anxiety, rebellion, loneliness, discouragement, rejection, and hatred, God. And God, replace it with your love. Replace it with kindness. Replace it with the desire to love themselves like you love them, God. Keep them safe in your arms, God, and let no weapon formed against them prosper, God. Thank you for your promises, God, and thank you for the path that you have for them, God. God, help them to walk in your ways and in obedience to your will so that they will never come from under your umbrella of a protection, God. God, we thank you for blessing us with each one of them, God. God, help us as parents to love our children unconditionally the way you do. God, help us to demonstrate as parents and model your love for them, God. Give us the wisdom and discernment when it comes to our children, God. Speak to our hearts and show us to continue to come to you in prayer when there is something in our spirits that is unsettled, God, that is disturbed, God, that is irritated or troubled about our children, God. Show us anything we are not seeing, God. Whatever is hidden, God, we ask that you bring it to light. And then, God, help us to depend on you to guide us, God, for you to instruct us, God, for you to help us parent them, God. We place them in your hands today, God. Guide, protect, and convict them when sin is trying to take root, God. Thank you for paying the price with your blood. so we and our children don't have to, God. We thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. For greater are you who is in us than he who is in the world. We pray that you will cast down every threat and accusation, every abusive word and cruel attack that is hurled our way. We praise you that nothing is impossible without you, and that you are loving and you are gracious and full of mercy and might. We trust in you alone. Rise up strong on our behalf. Thank you for being our defender, God. Thank you for being our refuge, God. Thank you for being our strength, God. Thank you for being our source, God. Thank you for fighting for us each and every day, God. This is war, God, and you are fighting our battles for us, God. Help us to continue to draw us closer to you each and every day, God. Help us to put on our suit of armor every day, God, so that we are ready for any and every attack that comes our way, God. Help us to depend solely and completely on you, God. Help us in the time of our weakness, God. We know that when we are weak, you are strong. And if we give everything to you, every worry, every burden, every thought that stresses us out, God, if we give it all to you and allow you to manifest in our lives, God, everything will be okay. I thank you for your blessing. I thank you for your love. I thank you for everyone that is on this prayer line. I ask that you be with each and every one of us today as we journey off to whatever destinations we have. I ask that you give everyone traveling grace that may be traveling, God. I ask that you heal anyone who is sick and shut in, God. I ask that you mend broken hearts, God. God, I am so thankful for your blessing and so thankful for what you have done and what you are about to do, God. We thank you for elevation of this ministry, and I thank you for the blessing that you have over all of our spiritual leaders. God, we ask that you be with us today, and we ask that you hear all the prayers that we send up to you today, God. We thank you. We love you, and we ask all things that we prayed this morning be done, received, and answered in the blessed name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it is so, and so it is. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you all today. I pray that your day is prosperous. I pray that you have everything that you need. And I also ask that you have an amazing day. Do it on purpose. You deserve it. God bless.
Thank you for joining To Be Restored, a time of devotion and prayer. Brought to you by Marlene Carr and the partners of To Be Restored Ministries. Pray with us live every Monday through Friday at 5:30 a.m. Central Time, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. To join us while we're on live, dial 646-668-8056 or tune in and listen to our podcasts at blogtalkradio.com/Be Restored. Do you need to build, rebuild, or strengthen your prayer life? Right now, you can access over 1,200 recorded prayers on numerous topics like faith, family, God's love, and forgiveness. Go to toberestored.org to access pre-recorded prayers, where you will find encouragement to pray through any of life's circumstances. Like and follow us on Facebook at To Be Restored Ministries, and follow Marlene on Instagram at MarleneCarr1. If you're interested in contacting Marlene for a speaking engagement or desire information about enrolling in intercessory prayer training, visit toberestored.org or call Total Restoration Church, 815-573-5517. That's 815-573-5517. To Be Restored Ministries is committed to saturating the earth with prayer.